Pleased to have Tony come and share with us. Tony?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Tony.
Happy this weekend.
Praise the Lord.
It's so amazing that it's almost coming to an end. Well, I'll make sure that we don't get there any sooner than we have.
There you go.
Okay.
So that's what I'd like to know. Who's on tonight? I am. Who's after me? Nobody? Great. Fantastic. I don't have any concern with who's next. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Alright. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your divine word, for the comfort that you do so much bestow upon each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, that all that weight that each and every one may have here, that we can just lay it aside and just focus on you and all the goodness that's in you. So we thank you for the splendid weekend. We thank you for everyone's life here. We thank you for all the speakers. For that rightly divided word, that we can just grow more and more each and every day in the knowledge of you and your Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And so we have the conference theme, where we, as Bob so well pointed out, started off with a informal hitting all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Colossians 2 and 3. But of course, you want to really understand the whole context of it. And so, I wanted to leave out
Teen Day Together,
but I couldn't. Because, obviously, I came to learn that after the fact, but that's great. Because, as a workman of the word, as we all know, we should all endeavor to look at the whole context, right? And a lot has been shared. I think it's wonderful that the speakers, whether it was Dave Bickle, whether it was Mike Jankowski, or Ronnie, it was wonderful. It was really in-depth teaching. And I really learned a lot from every single speaker. Roger Zillman, that was fabulous. I'm going to go to the garage one of these days. See if I find something missing. But there's just so much information. You know, we've heard certain recurring themes that I think are important to share on. I mean, I've got something that I prepared, and yet on the other hand, you know, as the Spirit guides us all, we also, like I said, feel a theme that's coming out of whether it's, you know, the need to be aware of always coming to the knowledge of Christ. The mystery of Christ, the mystery of the one body, what this theme centers. We could all get attacked with one that's good, has its place and purpose. And yet we know that the thing of God is just so huge, so vast. I was sharing with my wife Maria how, and I shared with a couple of these that we got this weekend. I can't help but think that here we are trying to absorb the things of God, the knowledge of God, the mystery of Christ, and to try to understand this huge, infinite being. Think about that for a moment. We have finite minds. And the finite mind attempting to understand the infinite. And his desire for us to know him. And so I can only, we pick a lot of different analogies. But if you can only think of what that's like, here we are trying to understand the infinite, limitations, knowing our limitations, that's like me trying to, like I shared with Maria, trying to, knock some sense into a book. Now listen,
you gotta understand it.
No, really, picture that now. How much can that, I'm sure, some dogs and animals are well trained, yes? But do they have a limitation?
Yeah.
And that's the point. That we have a finite mind, we have an infinite being, that if we grasp, but so much, as I was sharing with Bonnie, that'll blow our minds.
Yeah.
And we'll only scratch the surface. Isn't that so? So here we are trying to understand the things of God and His Word, and we need to be mindful of that. What it is that we're dealing with. This is big. Huge. So, let us turn to Colossians 2:3. Teaching that you shared, because it's on point again regarding the context. You can't isolate a verse. This verse is dependent upon what was said before. And so, where we have here, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, that verse is dependent upon what has been said before. A lot of which I might repeat, and some of which you may think as that's different. So I'm going to go back to Colossians 1, just like I'm going to be sharing from Ephesians. So we heard from different speakers about the agonizing that Paul had in verse 1 for everything. I would let you know about great conflict. Agon 73. A contest is a battle. And as we look at that, in relation to the theme of the conference in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, that agonizing was something that Paul was directly responsible and charged with. What that something is for us to learn, for us to find out, and for us to really not just learn and find out, as Roger was suggesting, the need for us to, search and to endeavor to know, but to know it well. Why? Because, as you heard about the conference, the adversary is continually challenging, contesting, whether it's us or those who came come to the knowledge of this truth. So here we have in Colossians 1, for instance, let's go over to the 18, verse 18 of chapter 1 of Colossians. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, it's important that we understand that, because we read it in chapter 1 as a doctrine, and we're warned in chapter 2, verse 9, for in him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily. For those Greek words are one and the same. When we look at the fullness, verse 20, having made peace with the blood of his cross. Now, where do we get that from? Because that doctrinal statement we come to learn in Ephesians, in chapter 2. So let's go
all that we're perfect, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, that's common thread in Ephesians chapter 2. So, and I'm going off my teaching here. It's not even in there, but. So got me here, chapter 2, where is it?
Maybe Paul didn't trust enough that his hearers didn't really hear him quite well.
in chapter 1, he now begins to bring back, assuming you know this. This is assuming that you've absorbed it, to Raja's point, that you've understood it well enough to apply wisdom to it.
I heard you, Raja.
So, if you don't know that, and you've been chapter 2, you're not going to get it. So here in chapter 2, in whom are hid, verse 3, all the treasures that were hid, by the way, it only occurs 3 times. 3 times. One of those 3 times only occurs in the prison epistle right there, Colossians 2:3. That's the only occurrence in the prison epistles. Elsewhere, it's in Mark chapter 4, verse 22. But there is nothing hid. So, one hand, Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid, in Mark 4:22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, is the point. As Roger said, it's not that he's hiding it from anyone, it's that he's storing it what? Up. Luke 8, verse 17, on that word, apokryphos, Greek 6:14, Psalm number 6:14. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. So what we have hid, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, is available to everyone. The question is, will everyone search God? Will everyone seek God that he or she may receive of those things that are kept secret? Whether that's the mystery of the one body or Christ. Because knowledge in of itself doesn't bring about a level of understanding. How many people out there know knowledge about the things of God and don't know the real deeper things pertaining to the mystery of the one body? Let me share with a couple of you that I finally got the hang of Twitter after almost a year.
You did it.
I'm getting there. And boy, is it fun, because all I tweet is about the mystery. And don't get me wrong here, I'm not a social, whatever, fanatic, if you will, not. But after playing around with it, I thought, wait a minute, this could be fun. And I did it. And I've got a lot of, you know, here and there, people contacting me or writing me back, you know, what do you mean by this? And what is the mystery? So I got responses, and I got followers too, 1,710 of them, most of which don't know anything even when I do tweet. Still don't get it. So it's only a handful, but it's no different than what we have here. Who cares? Doesn't matter. You see, because what matters is that you're just doing it and sharing. So look at Isaiah 45. God, this is my notes.
Of course, pertaining to Israel. how much more so the body, the mystery of the one body that he knew before the foundations of the world? Would he, you think, have anything less with such a distinct body? I think not. So what about these secret things? Look at Deuteronomy 29.
Hold your tongue.
Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Any problem with that? I sure don't. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Beginning to make sense?
Sure does to me.
Goes back to what I said before. Some things may be worth taking out of context, and that sure is one of them. Someone said, and I don't know which teacher it was, and it's so true, how he prepares us or gives us everything we need to know in this life now. And Peter sure knew that. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1.
Matter
what you know or don't know about God's word. In fact, he doesn't
is the problem. That the things of this world tend to mask the things of God. Not saying it should. But humanly speaking, we look at the things of this world from this prism, which is why we should not. And it tells us what we need to be. Why, gee whiz, we need to get up on the podium. We should have some degree. You should have gone to some seminar. Why, gee, you go to church. This is the way it should be, to Jack's point. Well, gee, you've got to be successful in life. You've got to go to college. And I'm not telling anybody not to go to college. Hear me out. But I'm sure you know plenty of people out there that have made a 30-day-round college degree, right? And I'm not putting emphasis on anything other than what I'm saying is, with God, all things are possible. And so the limitations we impose on ourselves is that this world and how this world would have us to operate, we don't operate according to this world. The laws that we operate are under, those laws that pertain to God. And that's something that we need to now condition our minds to accept. And that's why the things of this world, the people of this world, and those who don't know the mystery can't comprehend us. They just don't get it. Do they? How many people have been asked? Hey, what church do you go to? I get asked that all the time. I take it to Timothy. I think it's 1st or 2nd Timothy. When he addresses. What does he say? Those that are at the church and so house. What church is that? Right? And that's what we need to share. Hey, listen, I have a Greek coworker. Get that Greek! You see the fun I have? Yeah, Greek. So he's one of them. That may have asked me. Yeah, he did. What church do you go to? I always try to answer the question with a question. Not that I'm getting cute, but I just want to know. After all, he's Greek. By the way, his name happens to be Tony, and he's just a change, praise God. That's Tony. So, what is church? What's that word mean in the Greek? I don't know, Tony. Are you Greek? You should be able to tell me. Have you ever heard of ecclesia? Yeah, ecclesia. What does that mean? Now, that just starts the conversation, is all I'm getting at. Doesn't mean anything. Wherever it goes, it goes. If it doesn't go, it doesn't go. Who cares? That's right. Get started. And so, that's the point. That, yeah, you need to have fun with it. You need to loosen up. And you just need to share with anybody wherever the opportunity presents itself. But you know what? If you're constantly thinking and thinking about God and seeking Him in everything you do and everywhere you go, it's, what's the word? Natural. Because guess what He does through the Holy Spirit in you? He inspires you. And so those things you ordinarily would not say, where did that come from? Comes out. The right opportunity presents itself because you're ready. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Same book here. Are we going with this? Yep, same one. should they be rejoicing?
Why? Well, I answer the question with the question. Why not? Because when you think about how God operates, I think it's exciting. I think it's worth rejoicing, as our Lord did, when he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. How marvelous that is. It's a perspective. It is a perspective. So, going back to Colossians, this is just a couple of examples of hypocritical. Colossians chapter 2.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, before the foundation of the world, before the Kakamoto.
And he left. And he left. And he
discuss amongst ourselves is, it sure is lonely. It sure is a small study group. I had one, I had two. I used to have one, no longer have any. Right? But what did Paul say? You remember they have all what?
Left,
right? How lonely was Paul? Now that's important. I think it's an important thing that it seems to be a very peculiar characteristic of our calling. What is that? That there is going to be some loneliness. I believe Paul may have even said that in one of his books. Get used to it. That's right, get used to it. Praise God. Why? Because you know you're doing the right thing. Because then you know you're settled and grounded. That's why. It's not on what we see. It's not on how many. It's on your faithfulness to His Word. My faithfulness to His Word. And shouldn't that be the standard by which we judge the things of God? But that's not what the world does. They will judge us. But gee whiz, you know, we have 2,000 in our conference. Okay. What did you learn? And we say 2,000. I see you say it. We had 2,000 people come up to the pulpit and give their life to Christ. Praise God. Who did the same? And you always see there the flesh doing what? Taking credit? Pride? Because that's the only thing the flesh can seem to do, is take pride in what it can do. God can care less because what's in it for God? God is the one that saves, not man. We're just his vessels, period. So that is not what you do. It just matters that you do it. And so, we take this Word of God so seriously that we study it. And we go home, and we study it. And we meditate on it. And we devour it. And we eat it like it's treasure. God bless it. And something begins to happen. It bubbles. Anyone experienced that before? You see? It bubbles. You can't explain that, right? How often have you been studying the Word and you just can't seem to put it down and you go, wow, it's 12:30. It's 1:30 in the morning. And you don't get it. It's not tired, but you know you're probably physically tired because you're in this human flesh. And so it is. See, we're not of those that study sermons. How many out there in religious circles and denominations study sermons? They have whole books of sermons. That's amazing. That's an amazing thing. I mean, I guess I'm sure you get inspired to do some of that, I'm sure. But how relevant is it to His Word? And to the original inspired Word of God. I'm not talking translations. I'm talking about versions. And I have a lot to do. You know, any one of us here, I'm convinced, because I know that much about love, I'm convinced that any one of us here is prepared to take on the Word of God, absorb it, learn it, just like any
that we all, of course, what holds us together is in love. Going back to what I shared, there is that characteristic of being, yes, lonely because of what we hold and what we believe, as Paul did too. But this, being knit together, as Ronnie said, in love, which is how we're to be comforted. So there's a lot of truth in that. And so it comes back to that. And so I'll end it there. And we're all blessed. Spoken a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessing word, that it can continue to bubble in our inner beings. Father, how thankful we are for everyone here, and thank you for Peter Redman putting off in this place for us, we can fellowship in, and for his staff as well. We thank you for this in the blessed evening. In the awesome name of our Lord and Savior.